I'm going to do a little review. The question keeps coming up, or the mistake, in Romans 10:9 and 10. And so I thought I'd go ahead and do the whole three chapters that are background to Romans 10:9 to show that the proper use of the verse, proper meaning of the verse, I should say. And so here's my take on it. Paul, he was still talking to all that be in Rome. That's how the letter starts out, verse 7, I think it is. It's just that in Romans 9, 10, and 11, he's no longer talking about the body of Christ, the church. When you get to Romans 9, 10, and 11, Paul begins talking about what happened to Israel and why no one can be saved Israel's way anymore. I shouldn't say anymore. the future after the catching up of the body of Christ will be more people saved Israel's way, if they believe Israel's gospel, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel, circumcision gospel. But now, no, nobody can be saved Israel's way. You have to go by the way that God supplied. God supplied it and told us through his apostle Paul. I believe that there is a key within the epistle to the Romans, and that key tells us what that three chapter section is about. Let's look in Romans 1 verses 11 and 12. For I long to see you, that I might, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established. So this gift he's giving, this spiritual gift, will establish them, or may establish them, actually. Verse 12, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. So Paul wanted to give them something spiritual to establish them, bringing them into the same faith that he had, so that it would be mutual. Paul's epistle to the Romans did that very thing. Then when you get to the end of his epistle, toward the end, Romans 16 verses 25 and 26, I should say 25 through the first four or five, well, what is it, seven words, I guess, of, first five words. First five words of verse 26 is the first and second establisher, and then you get to verse 26 for the third of the three. So let's look at them. Paul summarizes how he has given them the information in this epistle, how to accomplish that stability that he wants for them to have, the security and the immovableness. So going to Romans 16:25, now to him, that's a strange way to put it, I always think, and I go just beyond that. Let me bring it up here, since it's not on the verse list. If you go to the very next verse after 26, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Excuse me. So, to God only wise, to God be glory. He's giving glory to God. So you go back to verse 25. Now to him, he's ready to give glory to God, and he goes on to describe it. He says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. So that's the first establisher. my gospel, Paul's gospel, the gospel that Christ revealed to Paul that wasn't revealed before he revealed it, starting after Acts 8. Paul was saved in Acts 9, and it wasn't before that. So that's the first establisher, my gospel. And next we get the second one, the preaching of Jesus Christ. And there's a condition on that. It's not the preaching of Jesus Christ according to prophecy. It's the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. It's made manifest, and that's the first five verses of 26. So the third establisher is in verse 26. And by the scriptures of the prophets. And that's what relates to what we're looking at tonight. Romans 9, 10, and 11. The scriptures of the prophets about Israel and Israel not believing and disbelieving Israel being falling. In chapter 11, it mentions the fall of Israel, the stumbling before the fall. And it mentions their diminishing, and eventually they're casting away. People look at verse 2, 11, 2, and say, see, Israel didn't fall, didn't get cast away. Well, they weren't cast away by the time of Acts 20 when Paul wrote Romans, but they were cast away later by the end of Romans. You can see it in Acts 28, verses 25 to 29, the casting away of Israel, according to Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. So, this third establisher that establishes us, makes us strong and stable and secure, we're secure anyway, immovable, put it that way, by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. And Paul says, made known to all nations, because that was after he sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia, which Philippians 4:15 identifies as the beginning of that gospel to all people. Same saving message as before throughout Acts 13 and 14 all the way up to 28, but in Acts 20, when he sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia, he got the okay to teach all people, preach it to all people, how to be saved. By the time Paul summarizes this all in Romans chapter 16, he had already gone through Romans chapters 1 through 5 about how we can be saved today in God's current way of dispensing His grace to save people. And that correlates to my gospel in the first item in the establishers. When Paul summarized it there in verses 25 and 26. Next, Paul had gone through Romans 6. By the time he starts in Romans 9, 10, and 11, he had gone through Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 about the power of God that gives us who are saved, He gives us power to live out His life in our physical activities. That correlates to the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. There was a secret, and it was kept and hidden. It was not told until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. It was a told secret from then on, and it's in Paul's epistles, only in Paul's epistles. That's the second item in Paul's summary in this epistle toward the end there in Romans 16, verses 25 and 26. Let's look at them again before we go on. Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. In the third item, in Paul's summary there that we just read, Paul refers to chapters 9, 10, and 11, reviewing what has happened to the fulfilling of the scriptures of the prophets. By the time of Acts 20, when he wrote it, anyway, according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Now, it doesn't say that by our faith we must obey Old Testament. It's saying the Old Testament was given for that reason, for made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. All nations that received it, and those individuals that receive it can obey by it. Doesn't say they're saved by it, does it? They're to, like the previous speaker was saying, those that have believed the gospel are to maintain good works. What scriptures of the prophets were there that told about God's command for all nations to exercise faith's obedience? Well, look in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God shall set thee on high above all nations of the earth. So Israel's prophets wrote about how all nations could relate to God through Israel in obedient trust in what God commanded the prophets to write, Israel's prophets. Through Israel's prophets, God had made known to all nations that through faith's obedience, they could be blessed by God, as he had said. How had God said that people of the nations could be blessed by God before Israel's fall? Well, here are several verses, and the references to them anyway. All showing some of the Gentiles choosing to come to God through Israel, through Israel's doctrine, and by blessing Israel before Israel fell. You can find that in, well, I've got four sections here, but let's look at them instead of just naming them. Let's read them. Jeremiah 12, starting in verse 14. And we'll go through verse 17. Jeremiah 12. And let's see. Thus saith the Lord against all mine evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. Well, for one thing there, in verse 14, you get the definition of my people. He says, which have caused my people, Israel, to stumble, to inherit. Okay. So when he talks about my people, he's talking about Israel. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's Israel. Okay, going on to verse 15. And it shall come to pass, after that I have plucked them out, I will return. Not too many places you can find that in the Bible where Jesus says, I will return, or where the prophecy says that God will return. And have compassion on them, and bring them again, every man to his heritage, and every man to his land. And it shall come to pass that, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name, the Lord liveth. As they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord. Well, let's go to the third section of verses. That's in Exodus chapter 12, verse 37 we'll start at. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot, that were men beside children. That's quite an increase. Of course, it's 400 years, isn't it, that they were in Egypt. And a mixed multitude went up also with them. Well, that's a key phrase we use in understanding the assemblies and the people that came out of the synagogues to meet with Paul. With some qualifications there. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle, and they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victuals. Verse 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel, remember Jacob was renamed Israel and had children, these are the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt, was 430 years. Oh, I got that wrong. Verse 40, now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day. It's interesting how the Lord accomplishes things on schedule for Israel. And selfsame day, it uses that terminology when the rains started coming in Noah's flood, or the rest of the world's flood, actually. It says Methuselah died the same day, or the day that he died, it came. So even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Verse 42, it is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. That this is that night of the Lord to be observed, and all the children of Israel to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. Verse 43, and the Lord said unto Moses, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. No stranger, no Gentile, in other words. Nobody not in God's people there. So some of the Gentiles could come to the Lord. They had come to the Lord coming out. They came out as a mixed multitude. There were some Egyptians that came out believing that, boy, the Lord sure is working. He must be God. And so they came out with Israel when they came out. But every man's, there shall no stranger eat thereof. And then verse 44, but every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. And look at Deuteronomy 32:43, and then Genesis 12:3. We'll round up those four sections. Deuteronomy 32:43, rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. Genesis 12:3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Those scriptures of Israel's prophets were made known to all nations to be obeyed in faith. It was still under the covenants. It was a covenant message, the promises of God to his people Israel. They were fulfilled for a while. They were fulfilled with Gentiles believing God's offer to bless them if they blessed Israel, and that correlates to the scriptures of the prophets there in that third item of Paul's summary of his epistle in Romans 16 verses 25 and 26. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery and the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11 are packed with information about Israel, about God's promises to Israel, God's covenants with Israel, Israel's failures, Israel's walking away from God's covenant with them, and they're walking away from God's unconditional promises to them. How sad. Although God still will perform all his unconditional promises to Israel when they walked away from him and his covenants, God's covenants with them in Acts 7, they lost the at-handedness of the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God is at hand. That was the message at the time. They didn't take him up on it. The promised kingdom out of heaven did not come in power at that time, and it will not until Israel, and here's a quote, shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. That happens in Zechariah 12, verse 10. And toward the end of Jacob's trouble, Daniel's 70th week of 7 years, that's when that happens. Jacob's trouble does not start until the Lord Jesus has caught up the body of Christ to the judgment seat of Christ and to our home eternal in the heavens, our house eternal in the heavens. Today, and today's gospel of salvation is it's nowhere in Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11. That's explaining about Israel and why they fell from their position as being God's dealer, the way God did deal with people, with Gentiles, and Israel at that time, until they fell. All you can find there is a telling of what Israel should have believed while it was still being offered to them. Israel failed to have faith, and that you can see that in chapter 10, verse 8. They failed to have faith that Jesus is the Son of God, the resurrected Messiah. They missed out. So no one can be saved anymore by Israel's covenants and commandments and promises and doctrine and gospel. Israel fell. Israel is lo am I. It's no longer the way to God. Paul had revisited his part, the part of God's covenant that had been deserted by Israel, nation of Israel, in Acts 7, in order to make it clear the difference as to how God would save believers in his new pattern of salvation, by which he saved Paul, by the way. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Albeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern. A pattern to them would be us, which should hereafter, after Paul, believe on him, Christ, to life everlasting. And we want to give the gospel in the form it's given in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. You can receive it. Go beyond believing it, that it's true. Believe that it's your only hope. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, and by which also you are saved. So that's the gospel that saves. Excuse me just a moment. It says, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. Not the others that came before. Paul had a new gospel, a new pattern of salvation. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. It's vain to believe the other gospel, the gospel of the kingdom. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen. So, preach the word.